This is your day to shine. So I want to start by asking you a question. What are your spiritual goals? By the way, that's a terrific method to kill a conversation when you go into work today, or if you're at a party with somebody, just maybe even in a church, pause and ask them, what are your spiritual goals? Because here's the deal. Spiritual goals are not what most people think they are. Very often people will think about them in this way. I have financial goals. I want to get out of debt, save 10%. I have physical goals. I want to lose 5 pounds or exercise 5 days a week. I have intellectual goals. I'd like to take a class and learn a language. And then I have spiritual goals. So maybe that would be read the Bible a certain amount or pray on some kind of regular basis. Or if I'm a Baptist, I will meet with an accountability group at Denny's at 6 in the morning. If I'm an Episcopalian, I will light a candle and learn Lectio Divina. Any of those things might be a good thing, but they are not spiritual goals. They're actually possibilities, activities that might help us reach those goals. Those goals, aspirations, dreams, what might happen in life are terribly important, but they're not what most people think they are. So I want in this time to kind of unpack what they are and why. And I want to start by reading in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. And what Paul is talking about now here are actually his spiritual goals for the people that he loves at Philippi. And he's praying for them and wants them to be planning for them. So here we go. Indeed, it is only right that I should feel like this about all of you. He's told them about his great love for them, his great joy when he thinks about them. Because you hold me in such affection, and because all of you are sharers together with me in the privilege that is mine of being in prison and of defending and vindicating the gospel. For God is my witness. I yearn for all of you with deep affection that comes from Christ Jesus. Sometimes people don't think of Paul as a deeply, passionately loving person, but these words indicate something different. And I pray that your love may keep on increasing, still more and more, in deeper knowledge and broader perception, in order that you may approve what is excellent, be pure and harmless in preparation for the day of Christ, and be filled with the fruit of righteousness that Jesus Christ produces. And all this for the glory and the praise of God. So his spiritual goals for the people of Philippi are not read the Bible this much, memorize these Bible verses, do these activities. Those things might all be well and good. It is that their love would grow more and more and become more and more discerning. All of this towards what he writes in the second chapter, that's the overall motto theme for our series together, and that is that you be able to shine like stars. Now, the idea of being a star is different than what we often think about with a movie star or a rock star. And there it's often somebody who, because they have beauty or because they have fame, they are more than other people around them, and it becomes a justification for ego. There's a wonderful old movie, a musical, Singin' in the Rain, and a comic villainess in it is a ego-obsessed star named Lena Lamont. She is, as she tells one producer, according to one review, a shimmering, radiant star in the cinematic firmament. It says so right there. And that becomes grounds for her to just climb all over people and to become really wealthy. I make, she says, more money than Calvin Coolidge put together. Well, a star in the sense that Paul is using it is just the opposite of that. It doesn't justify ego. It actually is radiant in its humility. And so when we think about things like spiritual goals, it is to shine. Jesus put it like this: you are the light of the world. Let your good works so shine before people that when they see them, they glorify our Father, which is in heaven. This is where Jerry Hawthorne, this is what Jerry Hawthorne, who's written this wonderful commentary in Philippians, says about this notion of shining. Today is your day to shine. Your spiritual goal is to become the kind of person who shines. He says, although this verb shining is usually translated like an indicative, you are shining, it may also be treated as an imperative. In other words, you must shine. Shine, get to it. And that's the idea here, he says. As the sun or moon or stars shine in the heavens, illuminating an otherwise dark sky, understood in the physical sense, so the Philippians, who are themselves light, you're the light of the world, are to let their good works of harmony, of selflessness, of service to others, and so on, shine out, so that they themselves will influence for good the people around them. One thing is clear. Paul did not intend his words to mean merely that the Philippians were to stand out against the background of their society so as to show it up by way of contrast. Rather, his words came as a challenge to change that society, but to change it not by out-arguing it, not by out-voting it, not by grabbing for power. As light dispels darkness, so Christians are to dispel the darkness of evil and ignorance that is everywhere around them. So I'll ask again now, what are your spiritual goals? What's your goal for today? And in every situation, I can be thinking about what do I want to get out of this situation, or how might I be able to allow the light of God to shine in the midst of it? I was flying home just a couple of days ago, and it was one of those flights that is going to be delayed, and they told us about that. They said there was an important piece of equipment that needed to be obtained and brought on the plane, be just a few minutes. We ended up 2 hours and 45 minutes late. And when the technician came with the piece of equipment, I am not making this up, I thought, well, maybe it'll be a wing. You know, maybe it'll be an engine that we've been missing. That'd be really important. It was a toilet seat. I kid you not. He was walking down the aisle and we were all sitting there. I missed a connection. Lots of folks did, waiting for a guy who was bringing a toilet seat onto a plane. Like, we actually would have been willing to fly without that. And several times somebody would come on the intercom and say, we want to thank you for your patience. And my initial thought was, no, you don't get to do that, because that's assuming that I've made the decision to grant you my patience so that we're okay with each other. But I have not made that decision. You cannot take for granted it. And then the thought that came, although it took quite a while, was, what if God is speaking through those words? Thanks for your patience. You know, to have the spiritual goal of becoming a patient person, where I recognize they have got rules and they've got conditions that they need to satisfy. And these folks are most likely doing the best they can. I don't know them, but I could offer them impatience, which flows from my own self-importance and ego. I'm a star. Or it's possible to shine with humility and believe that because I'm living in the kingdom of God, not just Philippi, not just California, but in the kingdom of God, then that I can trust in the midst of my circumstances, God is at work. And so I can aim at, in any given moment, how might the love of God or the patience of God, like, thank God that God is patient with me, so can I be patient with other people? How can I bring that light into this situation? So that's the invitation today, is to think now, what are your spiritual goals? And I'm not talking now about devotional practices. If those were the primary spiritual goals, then in Jesus' day, the Pharisees would be doing great because they did wonderfully well on devotional practices. But they did not have the goal of shining in good works of radiance and love and humility and patience with other people and non-judgmentalism. And so that was, they did not understand what a spiritual goal really is. Spiritual goals got to be able to grip me in the heart. Paul said, we've already seen in this series in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so we are always confident. Well, that's a good goal. How would you like to be always confident? I would really like that. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a good spiritual goal. Have I even set that out as a goal? And then do I actually have a plan for moving towards it with God's help? Because only God can do that with me. Or Paul goes on to say in Jerry's translation of this passage in Philippians, to be pure and harmless. And that doesn't mean to be weak or ineffectual. It means to walk through life and not be harming people. So, for example, one of the ways that Jesus described this is somebody curses you, somebody hurts you, somebody crosses you, somebody gives you a non-faith gesture from their car, and your instinctive, habitual, reflexive response is to bless them. Is to realize in humility, yeah, I've done stuff like that and way, way, way worse. So, God, as you help me, I will have a good will towards this person. Do I even have it as a goal in my life that I would like to grow to become the kind of person where when somebody crosses me, when somebody is, I think, unfair or mean to me, I genuinely seek to bless them? And of course, the alternative to that is what I will do in my own flesh, which is ruminate and stew and obsess. Let it go. So I come back to that initial question. This is a really important one. Very often we plan about other things in our lives, but not about the person that we will become. What are your spiritual goals? What's your spiritual goal for today? Who would you like to become today? This is my prayer for you and me, that your love may grow more and more and may abound in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may discern, approve of what is best, and actually become that person. This is it, gang. This is your day to shine.
Hey, thanks for joining us here at Become New. I'm Tim, and I'm a part of a team. Our hope for you with these videos is that you've got one ear listening to John, but you've got another ear that's listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit that knows you, that loves you, that understands your situation and knows just exactly what you need to hear today, and who wants to invite you into following him one step, one moment, one day at a time. So we're curious what you feel like God spoke to you through this message. I know for me, what resonated with me was that idea of what are my spiritual goals? And I love that John talked about growing in love and discernment, and that those things go together. I know that that's the kind of person I want to be, someone who genuinely, sincerely loves the people that he's around and can grow in discernment, which is rooted in love, which wants to will and work for the good of others, as Dallas Willard says. One other note, I was talking to a Become Newer who watches on YouTube, and they let me know that they didn't know we also release these teachings on podcast and our website at midnight, the day of release. And so if you want to take in this teaching earlier, or you just like to listen instead of watch, you can do that on our podcast or on our website. And you can do that anytime in the morning, not just at 7 a.m. Pacific on YouTube when these release there. So I thought you might want to know that. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.